Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hi, sexy humans. So I actually just got off of the second group session for my erotic revival program, which is my signature immersion for women. P.S. I'll leave the link in the show notes to sign up for the waitlist. It's so good. It's so profound, so transformative, so deep and juicy and incredible. But anyways, we are still in this current round of the program working through the first module, which is oceanic self-love and heart opening. And of course, so much came up in this call, and I feel like I'm overflowing with just connection and insight and inspiration, and I felt super inspired to pour that into this recording of this solo episode. So why I love to focus on self-love and heart connection and heart opening before anything when we're doing sexual healing is because you want your sexual thriving to have a solid, sturdy foundation to grow out of. We want to be really conscious of what is the foundation that we're building here. And many of us currently have a foundation of maybe self-judgment, self-criticism, self-hatred, self-rejection, just this really negative, harsh relationship with ourselves, because that is what we've internalized through childhood. We have perceived ourselves as something to judge and criticize and almost have this inner battle that is constantly happening. In a sexual empowerment and sexual healing immersion, if we were to just dive straight into pleasure and orgasm and sexual empowerment, that would not be responsible for me as a facilitator. And it also would not be sustainable in any way, because again, we have to look at what is the foundation. And I think the term itself, self-love, can have a lot of connotation, and we can hold it up as this maybe impossible ideal or this unreachable outcome that is always just out of reach. So I would love to do some redefining and deep digging today when it comes to self-love. So instead of self-love being something that means like you have to feel incredibly amazing about yourself at all times or else you don't love yourself, instead of that, let's reframe it as self-love being a sense of trusting how you feel, and self-love being a willingness to know yourself. So, for example, let's say you're watching a movie and there is this evil villain antagonist, and he's doing all of these messed up things. And then the movie shows you his backstory and shows you he has a really fucked up, traumatic childhood and has been through some really horrible things. Suddenly, maybe you don't necessarily love him. Maybe he's not your favorite character, but most likely you'll feel some empathy for him. You'll feel some understanding because now you understand him, you know him, you see him and his backstory and where all of this toxic behavior is coming from. So it's so much easier to love and accept and connect to and empathize with someone or something when we feel like we know them and we understand them. So if you have a really hard time when it comes to quote unquote self-love, can you redefine it as, I am willing to know myself. I'm willing to discover myself. I'm willing to meet myself, including my shadows, my demons, my emotions, and the parts of myself that I don't want to look at and that I feel really ashamed of. And I don't want anyone in the whole world to know that this thing exists within me. All of that stuff. Can you be willing to know yourself? And previously, I also mentioned that we can define self-love as rebuilding a sense of trust with how you feel. Ooh, this is so deep. Let me tell you, there is so much to be said here. So, something that, oh God, I hope I pronounce his name correctly, Gabor Mate, the world-renowned expert on trauma healing, something that he talks about a lot is how during childhood, what keeps us alive is authenticity and attachment. Authenticity being the congruent, coherent expression of your inner world and your outer behavior. So for example, when you feel something internally, you express it externally. That is authenticity. It's this embodied congruence. Kids are really incredible at this, especially at a younger age, right? Like they feel an emotion and boom, it's flowing outside of them right away. There's no inhibition. There's no censorship. They just express it immediately. And then what happens? Within a couple minutes, most likely, it's gone and they're on to the next thing and they're laughing hysterically. They embody this fluidity, this radical authenticity. And then the other part that I mentioned is attachment, meaning attachment to a caregiver or parent in our lives. And if there's a moment during childhood where you have to choose between your authenticity and your attachment, you will pretty much almost always choose attachment. Because at the end of the day, your nervous system, your primal survival mechanisms care the most about you surviving. And when you're a little kid, your livelihood, your survival is entirely dependent on your caregivers and your grownups. Like you're not able to take care of yourself. So the one that is more attached to your survival at that time in your life is attachment, right? You want to make sure that you are connected to a sense of connection and attachment to your caregiver at all costs. Otherwise, it feels like death. It feels like no one's going to take care of you and you're going to die. So, for example, if you're a little kid and you are, I don't know, having a temper tantrum, you're having an outburst, a lot of emotions are coming up. And let's say repeatedly over time, you are shamed for that, or you're judged for that, or maybe even punished. You're told you're overreacting, you're so emotional, you're so sensitive, why are you crying? Suck it up, be quiet, sit still, that's enough, you're being crazy, you're being wild, tone it down, like all of these messages over and over and over. When we're young, we are so fucking impressionable. We are sponges, especially from the time that we're 0 to 7 and even beyond that, but especially under 7 years old. What happens, and I've worked a lot with kids for many years, and I witnessed this, like what happens is something happens, they express their emotions, and one of the first things that they do is they look up. They look up at the grownups around them to see what is their reaction. And over time, they start to mold and contort their own expression depending on the reactions of the grownups around them, because they are learning and absorbing what is considered quote unquote acceptable and unacceptable. Which one of my behaviors is going to lead to the withholding of love and connection and safety and belonging, and which one is going to be rewarded or not going to lead to the withholding of love and validation and connection and blah, blah, blah. So when we learn over time that, oh, if I reveal this emotion, if I feel this anger, if I express this sadness, if I cry these tears, if that means being punished and losing my attachment and my connection to my caregivers or grownups around me, then that means that I can't feel how I feel. I can't be authentic. I have to hide and diminish the truth of how I feel. And that creates a deep, usually long-term distrust in your own inner world, your own experience, your own feelings and emotions. Because you learn that if I trust and honor my emotions, that is going to lead to disconnection from the people around me who are keeping me alive. So your nervous system starts to overcouple those two experiences. It starts to, you have this deep imprinting that, oh, me being in my full authentic expression and trusting how I feel and allowing it to move through me, that leads to a threat to my survival. And that shit goes deep, okay? And usually we grow up and a lot of this is unconscious and we don't realize, like, God, why is it so hard for me to reach out for help and support? Why is it so hard for me to speak my truth? Why is it so hard for me to say no or set a boundary or to say yes or to just reveal the truth of my heart and my emotions? Why does it feel like physiologically I'm going to die if this happens and it just feels impossible? Most likely it's early developmental childhood imprinting that teaches us that. So back to the conversation around self-love, so much of it is rebuilding an inner ecosystem within yourself where you validate, acknowledge, recognize, dignify, and accept your experience. You validate your own experience instead of perpetually diminishing it and erasing it. Oh my goodness. Like, I can't even tell you how deeply, like, this is coming from my own personal life experience. Let me tell you, like, I historically have lived a huge portion of my life as a people pleaser, and it still comes up. I'm not 100% perfectly healed, whatever the fuck that even means. But there's been so many situations in my life, and this especially comes up for people around intimacy, relationships, sex, love, where we bypass and erase the truth of how we feel. And we tell ourselves, oh, it's not a big deal. Oh, I'm overreacting. I'll suck it up. It's okay. No worries. Instead of validating how we feel. And this leads to a deep, deep, deep disconnection from our intuition, from our sensations and our pleasure, from our emotions, and from the truth of who we are, because we no longer trust it. Again, because during childhood, we were told that it's something that cannot be trusted or else we'll die. And this is a process and it's going to be messy and we're going to fuck it up sometimes. But I invite you to explore and sit with, what would it look like to radically choose to trust how I feel? And that can be really terrifying, especially on top of that, when we live in a culture that glorifies and pedestalizes the mind and logic and reason. And we think that the mind trumps all, when in reality, there is zero separation between mind and body, and your entire subconscious lives in your body. Our bodies and nervous systems are imprinted with all of the stagnant, unfelt, unprocessed emotions, energies, experiences that we've ever been through that are still waiting to be moved and expressed and seen and heard and felt through us. So when we start to thaw those layers of numbness that have been protecting us for so long from feeling what needs to be felt, and we let ourselves be with it, and we hold ourselves in love and compassion and patience, understanding and tenderness. Oh my God, the amount of energy that frees up, and creativity and intuition, aliveness, connection, purpose, intimacy with yourself and others, it's just so profound. And I wish it for everyone. And it's one of the countless infinite reasons why I'm so passionate about this work, because this world would be such a wildly different place if we all learned how to love and accept ourselves. It would be such a different place. Because if you're able to hold yourself with love and tenderness and compassion when you're going through really hard shit, guess what? You're going to be able to have that much more love, compassion, and empathy for others as well. It's a direct reflection. So you want a better sex life, you want more pleasure, you want bigger, more cosmic, explosive, tantric orgasms, start learning to love yourself and trust your emotions and dignify your inner experience. This is a step that cannot be bypassed. Cannot, cannot, cannot. This is like foundational. Hold yourself in love. Otherwise, we will continue to project our power outside of ourselves and we'll only look for answers from other people And then we're not living a life that's ours. And then we're not having sex that's ours. We're having sex from this place of performance and transaction and expectation and what it, quote unquote, should look like. Reclaiming your sexuality means owning that your sexuality is yours. And it doesn't only exist for someone else. It doesn't only exist when you're in a relationship or you're having sex with someone else. Like so many women especially have this story of, oh, if I'm single or if my partner isn't in the mood or my partner is away, then I don't have a sexuality. That is so not true. Your sexuality is yours. It is untouchable. It is innate. It is within you no matter what. And when you fan the flames of your inner self-love and you truly like relate to your inner world as a garden, an ecosystem, a sanctuary, like you loving yourself and trusting yourself and again, having that willingness to know yourself is the same as giving these beautiful nutrients to this garden. It's creating fertilizer and sunlight and water and love. If you think of anything in nature, if it's not met with love, it's going to wither and die. And maybe that love is, again, sunshine, water, nutrients, but it needs love. It needs care. If you don't pour love into like a baby kitten, it's not going to do so well. It's going to shrivel. I perceive absolutely everything, all of life, all of reality through the lens of animism, which recognizes that everything in the natural world, everything in existence is alive, is conscious, is an aspect of divinity. When you live your life this way and you recognize everything as a fractal of consciousness, an expression of the divine, suddenly everything becomes relational. You are in relationship with absolutely everything, which means how you relate to that thing or that being or person or whatever it is, how you relate to them influences them and influences how they relate to you back. So if you related to absolutely everything that you could ever experience in your human life as a relationship and as that thing or that being alive and conscious, how would you relate to your thoughts? How would you relate to your emotions? How would you relate to your discomfort, your cringe, your shame, your pussy, your sexuality, your pleasure? Where your focus goes, energy flows. So the more energy, the more attention and care and effort and focus you pour into something, you are innately amplifying that thing, okay? So if we never spend any time being with ourselves, being with our bodies, being with our pleasure, being with our sexuality, being with our pussy or our cock or our breasts or our heart or our inner child, that thing, it's going to be harder to connect to it over time. It's going to have a sense of disconnection and numbness around it, which is totally reversible and healable. It just takes time and energy and focus. So when you take the time placing your focus and your awareness on different parts of the body, you breathe into that part of the body, you touch that part of your body, you move it, you sound from it, you express it, that's when it comes back to life. And it's also a living act of self-love because again, you are showing it relationally. I'm interested in you. I want to know you. I want to be with you. I want to feel you. I want to express you. Like imagine if you were to devotionally commit yourself to spending time with your pussy, even if it's not explicitly sexual, even if it's just cupping yourself or checking in with this part of your body or having a conversation with her, being with her, looking at her, expressing from her, asking her, what do you need right now? What do you want right now? What is your truth? What do you want me to know? That is how this area of the body or any area of the body comes back to life and you regain more sensation, more aliveness, and more connection. I recently was listening to an interview with Matthew Hussey and he was talking about self-love in a really beautiful way that resonated a lot with me. And he was talking about how the cultural, societal, like movie depiction of romantic love tends to be pretty conditional, right? Like if someone says, why do you love your partner? Why do you love your boyfriend? Why do you love your wife? Like their answer, definitely not always, but it pretty commonly will be like, oh, I love how they take care of me, or I love how they look. I love what they do. I love X, Y, Z, all of these reasons. But for the most part, if you ask a mother why she loves her baby, she'll look at you like you're crazy and she'll be like, what the fuck do you mean? Why do I love my baby? It's my baby. It's my baby. This is my child. Of course I love them. Or if you ask someone, why do you love your pet? Most likely they're not going to list all of these reasons of what their pet does or what they've accomplished or what they do for them. It's just, this is my pet. Of course I love them. Or if there is a small child who has this stuffed animal for years and years and they sleep with it every night and maybe there's like drool on it and it's missing an ear and it has rips and tears in it, like they still love that stuffed animal more than anything. It's like their best friend that they go to sleep with every single night. And you ask them, why do you love your stuffed animal? They'll be like, it's my stuffed animal. Of course I love it. And in this type of love, it's coming from this feeling of like, this is an extension of me. It's something that I am responsible for. I am the caretaker of this being. Of course I love them. Without a doubt, it's unconditional. It doesn't have to do with accomplishments and reasons and things that they do for me. It's just, I am responsible for them. I care for them. They are a part of me. They belong to me, and not belong in the sense of like ownership and not being your own person, but belong as in like, I feel a sense of care and responsibility for them. So if you were to apply that to yourself, instead of thinking that your self-love is conditional on the things that you do, or you needing to accomplish your to-do list, or you needing to become this certain perfect version of yourself, what if the reason that you love yourself is because you belong to yourself, and because God, Goddess, Divine Universe chose you out of the billions and billions of people on this planet, chose you as the ultimate lifelong caretaker of your human self? You, until your last breath, are responsible for yourself. You are the only person who 24/7, your entire life, you have been with you nonstop. If you relate to yourself as your own like divine ultimate caretaker and you are responsible for yourself, that is such a deep love in my perspective. To have that much like responsibility for another being, to care for them, looking at yourself and being like, you belong to me. You are home with me. Like that is such deep intimacy and connection and love. And I wish that for everyone. So to review what I've said so far, self-love can come from rebuilding a sense of trust with your body, with your feelings and your emotions, and dignifying and validating your own inner experience. It can be a willingness to know yourself and rediscover yourself, and also to recognize that you are reborn moment to moment to moment. So maybe if you did something really fucked up in the past, guess what? You get to forgive yourself, because most likely in the past, you were doing the best that you knew how. Even if it was a big fuck up and it's something you would never want to do again, you did the best that you knew how, and now you get to let it go. And then the other version of self-love that we went over is loving yourself because you belong to yourself. You are at home with yourself. You are responsible for yourself. You are the caretaker of yourself. And so in this group call today for Erotic Revival, again, you should definitely get yourself signed up for the wait list. It's such a powerful, potent container. But in this call, we went really deep into how your sexuality is a direct expression of your body and your nervous system. And it's responsive to the ecosystem that you give it, both your inner ecosystem and your outer ecosystem, the environment around you. So a lot of us tend to view our sexuality as just this thing. It's just this like dead static thing that comes alive when we find someone attractive or we're in a relationship or there's an expectation or it's a performance or transaction or any of these things. Instead of viewing your sexuality as this core, beautiful, organic, natural impulse, this emergent expression of your own body, your own nervous system, your heart, your soul, your life force, your beingness. And yes, you are so much more than just your sexuality, and your sexuality as a human being who came from sex, it is a core part of who you are. It's correlated with your aliveness, your life force, your magnetism, your radiance, your vitality, all of it. So if we view our sexuality as an expression of our nervous system, that means that that which has been imprinted in our nervous system will show up in our sexuality. So when we're holding on to a lot of wounding or trauma or shame from childhood or from any time throughout our lives in our nervous system and in our somatic world, that is going to show up in our sexuality, and it's especially amplified in our love life, in romantic relationships. That is when all of the inner child wounding shit comes to the surface. And that's when all of the relational things that happened in our early childhood attachment figures with mom or dad or with our caretakers, that's when those dynamics really surface. So when you're having sex with someone, it's multidimensional. And I get asked a lot, like, is it normal that I cry during sex? Is it normal that I feel rage coming up, or I feel grief or disgust or all of these emotions? And I cannot emphasize enough how normal it is for any feelings or sensations or emotions to come up. And instead of thinking that there's something wrong with you or broken about you because these emotions are coming up during sex, instead of that, relate to it as sexual energy is one of the most powerful energies in the entire universe. It has the potential to create life itself. So when your sexual energy is being activated and it's starting to move through you, it's almost like this purification process where anything that's still within you that wants to be moved and healed and potentially released, your sexual energy is going to bring that up to the surface. It's going to bubble up. So you having tears or emotions during sex, it's a sign from your body. And it's usually a sign that you now feel safe enough for this emotion to come up, to be seen and felt and expressed and released. And a lot of us were never given this education or this wisdom. And so we judge ourselves of, oh God, this thing is coming up. This is too vulnerable. I can't be seen in this. I can't expose or reveal this part of myself or these emotions. Let me shove it back down. And so it's this endless perpetuated cycle of emotions bubbling to the surface. Oh, can't feel that. Shove it back down. Emotions coming up to the surface. Shove it back down over and over and over. And what that's doing is just draining so much energy that it takes to suppress all of that emotion. It's creating more numbness and disconnection and a lack of congruence in your energy field, a lack of authenticity. And it's distancing you from being able to trust your body, your experiences, your emotions. And this practice is not easy, especially because it feels so unnatural because we're not taught this. We're taught a very like linear, one-dimensional model of what sex should look like. We're taught, oh, it's first we kiss and then we start touching each other and then we go down on each other and then there's intercourse and then orgasm together and then that's it. Like that is the normal quote-unquote sex that we are taught. And we're not taught that it can be so much more than that. There are so many ancient traditions and lineages and practices devoted to relating to your sexuality literally as a healing modality and as deep, 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 true nourishment for yourself on a cellular level. Your sexual energy has the power to heal you, to self-actualize you, to expand you and grow you and make you this like radiant, vital, empowered being. And we stop that process from organically happening when we think that our sexuality and our expression has to look a certain way, and we just keep suppressing our emotions and our inner experience. So your ability to have a thriving sexuality, so much of it is your ability to hold yourself in love, compassion, and dignity no matter what comes up. Even if it's ugly, dark, heavy emotions and you don't want to be seen in that, if you can hold yourself in love, compassion, acceptance, dignity, even when you're feeling rage or grief or shame or fear or shutdown or numbness or embarrassment or any of these things, like that ability to hold yourself in love is, in my experience, the single most transformative thing you could ever, ever do for yourself. More transformative and essential than any one single modality or methodology or technique out there. The techniques and the modalities are useless, fucking useless, if we're not holding ourselves in love. And if that still feels really inaccessible for you, I don't want you to think that you have to fully 100% love yourself before you can be in a relationship or before you can experience intimacy. For some people, that's the case. They're gonna like go on a deep journey within by themselves and learn to love themselves and then go in partnership. And for other people, their journey is different. And maybe they relearn and remember how to love themselves by being loved by another person. So that is also a possibility as well. You can let yourself be held and met in love. So again, to reiterate, you are in relationship with everything, including your sexuality. So try to catch yourself when you're talking down to your sexuality and you're saying, oh, I'm not enough, or I'm too much, or I'm taking too long, or I'm not feeling enough pleasure, or da 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 da, like any judgmental thoughts. Catch yourself, become aware of it, take a deep breath, refocus your energy, and try to speak to yourself with loving kindness. And you don't have to like fake any affirmations that don't feel genuine for you. You can say like, I'm willing to learn how to accept myself. I'm willing to learn how to love myself. If that feels more genuine to you than saying, I fully and completely love myself no matter what, then run with that. And typically, if we are feeling really numb and disconnected, that is a symptom and a sign that we are not yet feeling safe to feel what we need to feel. So numbness is kind of like this protective layer that grows over a sensation or an emotion that was too big, too much, too soon, too overwhelming to feel at a certain point. It could be a sense of overwhelm, trigger, trauma, pain, activation that was too much for our nervous system to handle at one point. So in order to protect ourselves, our nervous system created this level of numbness. So in actuality, it's coming from this deep place of love. Your body loves you enough to want to protect you and wants you to survive. So it created this numbness, again, to protect you. And in a lot of Taoist teachings, they recognize that if our energy bodies are stagnant, it creates stagnancy in our physical organs and can create physical dis-ease. So if we have this stagnant, stuck energy and emotions just stored, then it creates stagnancy, stuckness, tension, numbness, pain, or physical diseases in our bodies. And the natural expression of this, when this happens and our energy becomes stagnant, it creates heavy, darker emotions like fear, self-criticism, self-judgment, stuckness, numbness, guilt, shame, self-rejection, self-hatred, because there's no separation between mind, body, emotions. What's happening in one layer sooner or later is going to seep into the next. They are all reflections of one another. So if we're not allowing ourselves to move energy through us again, it creates stagnancy in our physical organs and our bodies and our nervous system. And we also start to have these heavier emotions, and we also start to have thought patterns that reflect that. So when we grow up around so much sex negativity and body shaming and shaming ourselves for self-pleasuring, we internalize that shame and that fear and disconnection, and we shut down and we become numb and tense, or we experience a lot of pain in our bodies during sex because our body is protecting ourselves. It was taught that I need to do this. I need to shut down and be numb in order to survive. So when we learn, or rather remember, to take care of our bodies and our energy system, and having like an emotional fluidity practice that we can go to, our natural expression tends to be more open, more fluid, more loving, more true to who we really are at our essence, our authentic selves. I want you to experiment with, what would it look like to trust how I feel? What would it look like to trust and dignify this sadness that I feel, or this pain, or this disgust, or this rage, whatever the emotion is? Can I let it be here without making it wrong? And can I trust that absolutely everything is impermanent? Like me personally, when I'm doing client sessions and I'm guiding them through these somatic processes, everything is impermanent. Everything. Even if a certain emotion or state of being has been with you for years, when you lean into it with love and compassion and, again, dignity, and you don't try to force it to be something that it's not, you don't make it wrong, but rather you say, hey, I see you, I'm with you, I feel you, I hear you, welcome, you are welcome here. When you meet it with that energy, it shifts. And the secret is to not approach it with the intention of shifting it or changing it or making it go away. Approach it with compassion. Approach it with this radical curiosity and this eagerness to get to know it. Again, because it is alive, it is conscious, even if it's a thought or an emotion or a sensation in your body, relate to it as alive and notice how the energy that you approach it with is impacting how it responds to you. When you approach it with the energy of, you are welcome here, I'm willing to learn how to love you, I'm willing to learn how to accept you, it transforms. And it also liberates all of the energy that it was taking to push it down and suppress it or shame it and judge it in the first place. It liberates so much vitality and connection. And that's how we truly bring our sexuality, our pleasure, our sensation, our aliveness back to life. That's how. It's acceptance. It's being with what's here. And it's relating to everything with this wild, radical curiosity. That's probably the word that I say more than anything else. I love that word so much, curiosity. And this is truly, 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 truly 100% how I live my life. This is it. This is my secret, is curiosity. I literally relate to every single moment of my life as if I'm this like undercover researcher or scientist or this like explorer who's like taking field notes on, ooh, what is it like to be in human university? Like, think of your life as your curriculum. Think of it as like whatever resonates with you. Maybe it's your classroom, it's your playground, it's your laboratory, it's your experiment. Relate to all of life as this fascinating like exploration. That's how I relate to life, and it changes everything, and it makes everything so much more fun and playful and lighthearted. Like, even if you start to feel depression or overwhelm, can you zoom your perspective out? And instead of thinking that you are that feeling or that emotion, can you be like, wow, this is so fascinating. Let me get to know you. Let me lean into you while also recognizing that I am not you. I'm in relationship with you. Or rather, we are everything, but you're not only the depression. You're not only the anxiety or the fear. It's a part of you, but it's not all of you. So witness it. witness your inner world, witness your thoughts, witness your emotions, witness your judgments, witness your human messiness and imperfection, and meet it with curiosity, with love and dignity. Boom. I really hope you got something out of this solo episode. Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram at I am Nadine Hamilton. I would love to hear how this lands for you. And also, as a reminder, you're more than welcome to get your gorgeous self signed up for the waitlist of Erotic Revival. This is like my deepest container. It's so beautiful and profound, and it guides you through this holistic, somatic-based process of bringing your true, authentic, wild sexuality, pleasure, expression, orgasm back to life in such a profound way. I also want to mention that at the time of recording this episode, I currently have spots open for private somatic coaching. So if you want to join a container that is totally customized and personalized to your unique needs, then this is for you. I have single sessions, I have monthly retainers, and then I also have a deep dive, more longer term mentorship. And I'll leave the link for that in the show notes for you to check out. If you have any questions about any of these offerings, again, you can shoot me a DM on Instagram and I would love to connect and answer your questions. I'm sending you so much love. I really, really invite you and encourage you to be so gentle and tender with yourself and to be your own like divine caregiver and to ask yourself, how much more love and acceptance can I pour into myself in this moment? Okay, see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.